Some viewers of WKAR-TV are upset the station's broadcasting operation could end in 2016. Michigan State University President Luanna Simon has until next Tuesday, the 12th, to decide whether to offer the station's broadband spectrum in a Federal Communications Commission reverse auction scheduled to begin in late March. Now, wireless companies are eager for more spectrum. The FCC values WKAR-TVs at up to $206 million, though it's not known whether bids would reach that level. Some are saying WKAR's status as a public TV station means it should remain available over the air. Meanwhile, President Simon and others comment that content is becoming increasingly available online. We welcome three guests today to share their thoughts on an auction and on the possibility that WKAR-TV may end its broadcast function. Mitch Lyons is the current vice chair of the MSU Board of Trustees. Welcome.
Hi, Mark. Good morning. Happy New Year.
Same to you. We'll also point out that the Board of Trustees holds the license for WKAR-TV and radio and that the board recently authorized President Simon to make the decision whether to participate in the auction. Our two other guests are longtime WKAR supporters. Rich Weingartner is a longtime WKAR volunteer. He and Jessica Wertley Adler were also members of the now defunct WKAR Community Advisory Board. Rich and Jessica, welcome.
Good morning.
We'll point out that there are two public meetings in the next week about this possibility. The first is tonight here in the MSU Communication Arts Building, room 147 at 7 p.m. The second is a week from tonight. Mitch Lyons, talk to us about what you think of this option that MSU has to auction off the WKAR-TV spectrum. What do you make of this?
Well, it's all kind of happening kind of quickly in terms of when we were made aware of this opportunity. And still a lot of unknowns that we're still exploring. I think that's what, going ahead and giving President Simon the opportunity to at least explore this further is what, you know, why we decided to go ahead and authorize that. There's a lot of things that need consideration, and this decision to move forward on the 12th certainly doesn't lock us into to doing anything other than giving us the right to do so if we decided to move forward.
Well, President Simon and other trustees that I've spoken with about this, and late last week I spoke with both Joel Ferguson and Diane Byram, they have emphasized to me that a decision to participate in the auction merely preserves the option to participate. Yes, it could lead to WKAR-TV stopping broadcasting, but it's not a guarantee of that. It sounds as if you're taking the same, you have the same kind of mindset. Is that right?
Yeah, I think we're all in lockstep with regard to that. There's just a lot to digest here and a lot we don't know and won't know, frankly, even if we decided to move forward. It doesn't mean that we're going to get an offer on the auction that, meets whatever number that is that we came up with. Obviously, if you decided to move forward and you decided that selling was an option, you've got to come up with a number that you think is fair. And there's no guarantee that that figure would even be met in the auction. So a lot of unknowns, and this at least keeps the door open for us.
Rich Weingartner, you served on WKAR's Community Advisory Board for around 5 years. What do you think of this whole scenario?
First, it caught me completely off guard when I got the email in mid-December that this was even an option, that it was available. All media pretty much around the Lansing area, at least, has been silent because this affects not just public TV stations, but all TV stations, and hadn't heard anything about it at all. I was shocked that anyone would even be considering selling the spectrum that WKAR-TV broadcasts on, because to me there is no price that you can put on public TV and the educational opportunity it provides the community.
Jesse Adler, what do you think?
I have the same opinion that Rich does. I too was caught off guard, although in doing my research, I saw that many other stations around the country had had public forums way back in October, November. So the fact that we here in the Mid-Michigan area were just learning about it, over the holidays seemed a bit of a surprise to me. And I, didn't help but have some conspiracy thoughts about whether MSU was doing that on purpose or not. And I hope not. But I'm finding that I can't, like Rich said, how do you put a price on free educational programming for both children and adults? I know, my nieces watch, PBS and WKAR all the time, and my husband and I watch it. And, it's, not everybody has access to cable or the internet. And so, you know, in the Lansing area, 25% of people don't have the internet. And so if they don't have the internet, they probably don't have cable either, which means they're watching free public broadcasting.
Mitch Lyons, we're hearing from a lot of people who have those general kinds of views. How do you respond to those? What do you make of them?
Well, I think it's a valid concern and certainly one shared by the board. We do understand our responsibility to provide that contact to the public, content to the public. And, you know, the thing we're trying to get our arms around is, you know, if that ceased to exist on our end, what happens? You know, is there another provider of some sort that can come in and provide that? And you know, I don't know those answers yet, and that's really why, you know, we want to explore this further and see, you know, that along with some other issues, obviously, that I know you've addressed with President Simon on your interview with her, that, you know, all fall under the consideration. But that certainly is one that we are very much aware of and concerned about as well.
Mitch, what role does the board play once the auction gets started? Is that clear to you?
Well, I think if it got to that point, I think we really need to be on a consensus in terms of, you know, what is fair value for that spectrum. And that's a hard thing to really come up with in my mind because, you know, who knows what the future holds. You know, it's kind of like, you know, we've equated it to owning lakefront property in Lake Michigan. You know, is the value only going to continue to go up? But with that, you know, unfortunately, we can't control a future sale either. It's got to be directed by the FCC. It's not like we own it outright. We essentially lease it from the FCC.
But do you expect the board to have a thumbs up or a thumbs down role here in terms of values that might come in should we pursue the auction? Will the board have that authority?
I don't know that we have the authority necessarily, but I know it's certainly Luana's going to, you know, to speak with us, share with us, and I don't think she would move forward without a consensus on the board. But you know, it's really, if it gets to that point, is what is that number that we're comfortable saying, okay, this makes sense if we got an offer and we, you know, we've appeased ourselves in terms of thinking of, all right, there's another way to provide this content to the public, and from the educational opportunities through the College of Communication and Arts. You know, if we move forward, what's that number? And that's the thing I'm struggling with personally is, you know, how do you put a value on that? And I'm not sure you can and be 100% sure that that's the right decision.
Mitch Lyons is the vice chair of the MSU Board of Trustees. We're also joined by Rich Weingartner and Jessica Wortley Adler, former members of the WKAR Community Advisory Board. We're talking about the possibility of an FCC reverse auction that would allow other bidders to bid on the broadband spectrum currently used by WKAR-TV. Rich, when President Simon was on the show a few weeks ago, she pointed to all the cord cutting taking place. And that involves content consumers getting programming from sources, say, on the internet rather than on broadcast signals or subscription or cable TV. Doesn't she have a point? I mean, isn't the future of more web-delivered content, isn't that likely? Isn't that evolving right now?
I completely agree that, yes, the delivery of content is definitely changing and switching more to online delivery. Although part of the cord cutting is people are going away from cable and satellite to more over the air because it is free. So that's usually people's cord cut in combination with over the air broadcasts along with internet delivery. And while that is also the case, more affluent people tend to be the ones that are able to cut the cord and switch to internet delivery more readily because they can afford the internet. It's more readily available at higher speeds for them. Part of what public broadcasting has always meant to me is that it's available to everyone, no matter their state in life, to the affluent, to the minorities, to the ones who are not well off, because it was always available free of charge over the air. And so while in a regular commercial sense, you might want to look at the possibility and think, well, we might lose some viewership, but public broadcasting is supposed to be available to the entire public, no matter their ability to pay to receive content. And the only way we can reach everyone across the area without paying is free over-the-air broadcasts. So that's why I still think there is not a price we can put.
Jesse, anything to add to that?
I just think we don't know what technology is changing. I mean, look at what we've had in the last, you know, 2 years, 10 years, 15 years. And I know in Luana's comments last week, she said, we don't know what it's going to look like in 10 years. And that's exactly it is. We don't know what it's going to look like in 10 years. So is the FCC really going to need all of this spectrum in another 10 years? Are we going to have a completely different type of technology altogether that we all need to be changing for? So are we giving up something prematurely that we don't even know what's going to exist or not going to exist? So I'd hate to see the station sell off only to find out in a couple years that it really was unnecessary. And, you know, we're not the only station. Every station is facing this. So whether you're, you know, a PBS or a PBS and NBC and ABC, a Fox, every station around the country is facing something similar. So if we're talking losing public broadcasting, you know, we're talking about losing a lot of news information and, you know, educational programming that's going out to our listeners and our viewers.
We want to point out that our listeners and we are available on social media here. If you have questions for any of our guests, you can reach us on Twitter at KAR Current State. We're also on Facebook at Current State from WKAR. Mitch Lyons, another point that critics are raising involves the likelihood that the spectrum will move from a nonprofit public entity, as we've pointed out, public broadcasting, and likely end up in the hands of a for-profit wireless company. And some number of people view this as pretty inappropriate. Any response to those complaints?
I'm not 100% sure I understand the concerns there to make a comment on that. But, you know, I think, again, it comes down to, and all these concerns that are being raised are valid concerns. And that, again, we're still in the exploratory mode. This board has not come to a consensus that, yes, it makes sense to sell or anything. We're still trying to wade the waters here. We're looking forward to the public comments and continuing to hear from the public and people as they raise concerns. So I don't want to give people the impression that we're leaning one way or the other. It's simply just looking at the issue because as you look forward 10 to 20 years down the road, you know what? It could be a situation where we looked at it and said, oh, geez, that was unnecessary. Or it could be a situation where, geez, the spectrum, you know, maybe it's not even needed due to advancing technologies and we missed out on an opportunity, you know, to you know, get a significant amount of money for something that, you know, maybe down the road isn't valued as highly. So, and that's the unknown, unfortunately. And you'd love to have a crystal ball and know exactly the right way to move on this, but we're just going to have to make some educated guesses, if you will, and make a decision from there.
Rich, some number of skeptics and opponents who've weighed in online and elsewhere appear convinced that this is already a done deal. Are you among those people? Or are you more hopeful than that, given how you feel about this?
I'm more hopeful than that. I tend to believe people when they say what they say. So I believe that the board is still considering this, although I am very concerned that they may make the decision to sell. They keep saying, well, we'll sell, or they have to come up with a number if they decide to proceed in the auction. I don't know how you can come up with that number in a couple months. You know, they talk about possibly getting the money, putting it into an endowment, and being able to run whatever the future is of WKAR-TV off that endowment. Without having concrete numbers and a strong plan, I don't know how we can go forward. To me, that's a bad business decision, much less a decision for the public good, without knowing what your plans are for the future if you would decide to sell. So with that, to me, you just can't sell.
Some are not so quick to assume that it'll be that easy to switch to different media to get PBS programming as well. Another former member of the Community Advisory Board complained to me that President Simon, and I'll quote here, President Simon overstates the ease with which viewers will be able to find their favorite shows if WKAR-TV goes dark. As one who depends on over-the-air television, I can say that it's not easy to find complete shows on the internet, and in many cases, they do not exist online. Any thoughts on that, Jesse?
I think that's a valid point. I don't know how many times I've gone looking for something online only to discover that it wasn't there, and it was only a one-time broadcast from 8 to 9 p.m., and maybe there's a snippet or a preview online, but not an actual show or the full content. And so while the internet is a wonderful thing, it's not the end-all be-all. At least we're not there yet. And as Rich and I had talked about earlier offline, when we all switched from the analog to digital a number of years ago, it was a very rough transition, especially for public broadcasters and public viewers who had no idea where to find their stations, how to, you know, find WKAR. And I have to imagine that this is just going to be as painful and worse than that transition was.
Mitch Lyons, I take it that the board and the administration is consulting with the Mr. Larry Patrick of Patrick Communications in Elk Ridge, Maryland, about all this. He's a longtime broadcast broker and a longtime broadcaster. Can you talk to us about the role that he is playing?
Well, again, just trying to give us as much information as possible in areas that, you know, for me personally, I certainly don't have a PhD in spectrum broadband technology. So I'm just trying to get outside opinions as to, you know, the value, the future value, where the industry's headed. Just, again, so we can try to make the wisest decision possible.
We will point out that there are two public meetings here in the next week about the possibility of a broadband spectrum auction of WKAR-TV spectrum. The first is tonight here in the MSU Communication Arts Building, room 147 at 7 p.m. The second is a week from tonight, same time and same place. We want to thank our guests. Mitch Lyons is vice chair of the MSU Board of Trustees. Rich Weingartner and Jessica Wertley Adler are longtime WKAR supporters and were members of the now-defunct WKAR Community Advisory Board. Thank you all for joining me.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.